I would like to call to order the meeting for the Transportation Committee for June 4th, 2018. Can we have a roll call, please?
Light?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Present.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County?
Here.
Agua Caliente? Semi Transit?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Councilmember Whale from the city of Rancho Mirage to lead us in the session.
Thank you, Chairman. Please join me in a pledge of allegiance to our great country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. With that, we move forward to public comment. I do not have any request to speak. Before we move forward to Transportation Committee and Director of Comments, any comments from members? None?
Just a couple of very brief ones. One is our General Assembly is on June 25th at 6 p.m. The Agua Caliente Resort in Rancho Mirage. Please sign up as soon as you can. We do need a quorum to approve the CVAG budget. And on CV Link, thank you to the City of Palm Springs for approving the construction contract on a flood control project at DeMuth Park, which will incorporate about a mile length of CV Link as well. Construction will start this summer, so it's good news. That's it.
Thank you. That was brief. Thank you. We move forward to consent calendar. We have one item for approval. I will entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and second. Everybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. So, item passes unanimously.
Applied.
Applied? Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. Always put that slide. I need that screen to enjoy that picture. Thank you, Joy. We move forward to discussion action item. We have 7A, funding match for ATP Cycle 4 project, and everybody will give us their stuff.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. This is a follow-up to some discussion we've had in the last couple of meetings about the fourth cycle of the state's active transportation program. In April, the CVAC Executive Committee approved a contract amendment with ALTA that does provide some application support for two projects. The first is the CV Link extension to the city of Desert Hot Springs, which is in both the city's bike and pedestrian master plan as well as the CV Link conceptual master plan. We've been working with the city on finalizing the exact route, but we anticipate this route will include several safety improvements along Palm Drive as well as other roadways. And the second project is the project Tom highlighted at your last meeting, the Avenue 48 Arts and Music Line. This is a joint project with the cities of Coachella, Indio, La Quinta, and Riverside County. We expect it to be interactive with lights and sounds, encouraging people to walk or ride their bike. This is a connector to CV Link that also includes connections to the Polo Grounds, Spotlight 29 Casino, and the Bear Creek Trailhead. So, ATP, our region has done incredibly well in previous ATP cycles, and this is an incredibly competitive program. They're expecting even more projects this year that will make more funds available. And for the first time, projects are going to have to complete applications based on their project size. Both the Desert Hot Springs project and the Avenue 48 projects are expected to be large applications, with their total cost exceeding $7 million. Excuse me. These applications are scored on a 100-point scale, and if you noticed in previous cycles, even a half a point can make a huge difference. So having a match gives you a competitive advantage in these applications. You can get an automatic 5 points when you have enough funding to cover at least 20% of the cost. This can also factor into cost effectiveness, and We are recommending that we make a relatively small financial investment to incentivize a far larger investment from the state. We're still determining the exact cost of the project cost. Staff is recommending that at least 20% of each project is committed locally. As with other regional projects, CBAG will recommend that the leverage is provided on a 75-25% split. The Avenue 48 project crosses multiple jurisdictions, and we will be asking cities to split that 25% among themselves. As part of our staff recommendation, we're also suggesting we use funding that's already been committed as part of this match. I'll go through some examples. As part of the 2017 Bike and Pedestrian Safety Project, CBAG in India, we're planning to invest close to $900,000 in a bike lane project that we could use instead as a match for this application. There's also funding committed to bike and pedestrian improvements on Avenue 48 with the county, the city of Coachella, and CBAG. That's between Van Buren and Dillon, and that's close to another $1 million. And we've got significant funding already committed on Palm Drive in Desert Hot Springs, which is the highest ranked project awarded in our 2017 safety program. CBAG approved nearly $2.25 million for improvements, and the city committed another $880,000. So, hypothetically, if we were just to use what's already been authorized, we would be able to submit for a $10 million project on Avenue 48 and a close to $15 million project in Desert Hot Springs and still be able to get our automatic 5 points. However, given both the length and scope of these projects, we anticipate that the cost of at least the Avenue 48 project could be higher. And so we're asking, our recommendation is that we'd be able to use additional funding in order to get that maximum 5 points and also leverage the other cost effectiveness points. This allegation is conditioned on successfully securing the grant funds, and we report back to our committees with the final figures once the total project is known. Lastly, both projects are part of our TPPS and are therefore eligible for regional transportation funding, and we have the funding available to provide that share. So with that said, our recommendation is to authorize the previous CBAC transportation funds be used as a funding match and for both projects, and that the additional funding be authorized to maximize leverage.
You did a fantastic job in explaining a very dense and very complex scenario here that we have in front of us. Would you like to say, take a seat? You did fantastic.
I think I ran out of 48 this morning.
Very, very complex and dense stuff before. Questions?
Question. Are you asking in this for cities to commit any funds at this point?
Only the cities that would be involved. And in the case of Desert Hot Springs, it's probably not going to be necessary because enough funds have already been committed by the city and CBAG on related improvements. In the case of Avenue 48, my guess is there would be a 25-75% match, and that exact amount wouldn't be known. The preliminary discussions, at least with the staff in the three cities, suggested that that would
be. That wouldn't affect the UL so that I could vote for it because I can't vote.
However, Indian Wells can contribute voluntarily.
Wish you the best of luck.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Councilmember Arnie, you see the
appointment. Do you have just an approximate length on the arts and music?
Yeah, arts and music line?
Yeah. Do we know about how long the arts and music line is?
Still being finalized. It's between 7 and 10 miles, though.
Okay. And looking at that, and anyone who's out during any of the festivals, it's so easy to understand what an asset that would be during festivals time. Because those communities do struggle, even as good a job as they do in the logistics of moving traffic around, it would really be an asset, if only during the arts and music festivals. I hope in one of the newspapers I read this weekend, I hope everybody had a chance to read about the High Line, and they use that example. and what an asset that is and what it does to all the surrounding areas. And they highlighted the High Line, but they also used a lot of other examples to make the point. But this is a perfect example of what can be done with those types of art and music experiences. That's it.
Thank you.
Council Member Middleton, City of Palm Springs.
On the Desert Hot Springs line, and before I even go any further, I'm very supportive of this, but does any part of that connect within the city limits of Palm Springs?
Yeah, yes, and the exact location where it does so has to be determined. It would likely be at Indian and CD Link or the Wash, or Palm and CD Link and the Wash, and would probably seek between CDAG and the City Desert Hot Springs a support letter from the city or something along those lines.
We've had multiple discussions and no one's committed to any line yet. We really just want to get the engineering done. Once we know the money's there, then we're going to go back to our city council and start working on the exact route, and then we would definitely partner with your city on it.
Obviously, we want to be involved in those discussions regarding the connection.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Any more questions, suggestions, comments?
Move approval.
So we have a motion and we have a second. Everybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain. We have one abstention. Blight.
Yes.
Yes. So we have unanimous. We have one abstention.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. So we got this out of the way. Thank you so much, Erica. We move on to 7B, where Eric has given us the staff report, and this is the handbook.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. This is kind of a culmination, or not quite the end point, we're almost there. The town handbook is the handbook that we use to assess the actual fees. We had the Nexus study, which was approved, which set the trip rate. And that was the trip rate that went up to $245 from $192. From that point, we go back to our land use categories, which we had simplified and greatly reduced from in the 30s and 40s to categories and subcategories to just about a dozen. Then we just, it's a mathematical exercise. Then we just go to the ITE manual, the Institute of Traffic Engineers. They do exhaustive studies on trip rates and land use. And we use that manual to set our actual fees from our trip rate. When we talk about land uses, so these are the individual fees that are within the handbook. These are all the things that we agreed on through this process, but single family, multifamily, and mobile homes, nursing, congregate care, low income, which we've decided, at least for now, will be exempt. We're going to gather some data on that and report back to you. And transit-oriented development, which gets a discount, and that's by state law. So that's our residential categories, pretty much the same as we had in the last handbook. The non-residential is where we did a lot of simplifying. Again, almost any business you can name had a category, and the difference between these categories was very little. But now they make a lot more sense, I think. We have industrial, office, golf course, hotel, and retail. And in retail, we have one subgroup, which is fuel dispensers, just because it's kind of an add-on for different uses. That's our categories for non-residential. And again, we developed the fees based on the ITE manual. So we did receive on Friday a letter from TVBA, and they had brought up a couple of issues with respect to categories, and we've all agreed, in discussions, we've agreed these aren't things that should hold up the process, but there's some details and some clarifications that we need to make, and we will make those, and we'll work with the VBA. So again, nothing extraordinary there. They also brought up the $500 appeal fee, so if you're a developer and you're told this is what your new fee is going to be, and you disagree with that, there's an appeal process, which is outlined in the handbook. And we had a $500 fee that went along with that, and I think what they were asking is kind of like in football and baseball, in court, if you win your appeal, you get your flag back. In this case, your $500 back. So, and I think we've agreed to accommodate that request. as well. So a few issues, ticky-tack, clarifications, things we need to work out, but otherwise, I think we would agree that this process, with DVD and PVDA, that this process should move forward. So our recommendation is to approve the grant.
And that will be as modified with the $500 being in fact refundable. That would be reflected on this item as well as the next item, the ordinance itself.
Okay. One small question.
Yeah, comments.
When you look at page 7 of the handbook, it talks about under industrial, it mentions agriculture, and certainly when you look at some of these other things, that's probably our number one industry under industrial. But then when you go to page 12, it says industrial, and it mentions a few things, but not agriculture. And I would just suggest that we add agriculture to 4.1 under industrial.
Excellent. And of course, the fees are based on actual structures, and so very, very good point. For agriculture, the fees would be probably very, very low.
Thank you. Yes, Mayor Mattis, City of Desert.
Thank you. I just have two questions on the appeal process, Eric. Who's handling the appeals?
I think right now the appeal process is outlined in the handbook, and it begins. It begins with the
Technical Advisory Committee.
The TAC.
CVAG's TAC handles the appeals process. That's where the hearing takes place, but then it is ratified by the Executive Committee.
And I'm sorry, I can't find it here. You know what page it's on?
Yes.
I can skip it over if I'm not.
It's like on the last page of the resolution.
Yeah, I don't know if it is in the handbook. I thought it was in the resolution.
Isn't that resolution?
Oh, no, it's on the last page. Procedures.
Page 36 of your
agenda. Yeah, it's
and then my second question is under industrial, does that include greenhouse? There's been a lot of talk about greenhouse not being an industrial, being more agricultural. So maybe that means by adding that piece into there that
I think
clarifies it.
So much of our ag, we have a lot of greenhouses in the East Valley that are ag anyway, so I would think that would.
So would that clarify for everybody if it was under that?
There are some that are more retail and some that are more agricultural, and we can make that clarification.
I'm just trying to make that clarify because with all the marijuana coming through some of the greenhouses, so we're already arguing on the back whether it's considered by industrial or not, so on the cost. Thank you.
That's a good point. I would note since 2010 we have had no appeals.
Since 2012.
A precedent has probably been set for the, because there are multi-acre greenhouses already in our agricultural area, out in Thermal in that area, and that's ag. So
yeah.
Probably a precedent has been set on that.
Absolutely.
And I do want to clarify now that I read the ordinance itself, the appeals process is by the Executive Committee. Practically speaking, we've always had that at the TAC and then ratified or confirmed by the Executive Committee, is my understanding. Is that?
That's the way it has been.
Once done, only once every 10 years, we kind of forget about the process.
But the ultimate body making the decision is the Executive Committee. So whatever process we decide to have it to provide the correct information to the Executive Committee, that would be okay.
I just want to make sure that the cities don't have to be in the process. So
right.
If this comes straight here, then not the extra layer of bureaucracy. So, okay.
Any other question or comments? I actually have one, and it has to do with perhaps looking at the ability of having a cohesive process when it comes down to a platform that can be used by city staff in our respective cities to calculate these fees. It will be a database behind a simple form so that developers and the engineers that work with developers can go and do their calculation online and then just go and verify it with the city staff. So there is another layer of transparency and peace of mind when it comes down to what these fees really mean for a specific project. before they go in and pay for the fee. So we have this discussion on Friday. I don't know if there's anything you can do to look into a potential platform that all our cities can use, and also the industry as well, so that when they run the same, with the same platform, they run the same numbers, so there's a meeting of the minds, and we just take away any possible misunderstanding on that.
And I know the city of La Quinta has been the forefront on a lot of that, getting an app out there and information out to applicants on exactly what the fees might be. We can certainly do that relatively easily for the CVAC fees. As most of you probably are well aware, a developer wants to know the total picture, the total amount of fees, and each city does do it a little bit differently. I think after we've looked into this before about kind of a consolidated approach in the Coachella Valley, and it's a bit of a minefield with each over-the-counter person doing it a little bit differently, and each city doing it a little differently. But fees are generally similar categories. What we'll do is after we get through this three-year process, Jim Sullivan kind of leads our efforts here. We'll work with Jim and see how much can be perhaps automated across city boundaries, and perhaps come back to you in the future on some suggestions.
That'd be great. And the reason developers need to know the entire picture is because they have to go out and borrow the money to make it happen. So you got to know what to borrow. Thank you. So with that, if there are no more comments or questions, I will entertain a motion.
As the TUF handbook will be as modified, both with
Azaman, yeah,
with agricultural grow-related facilities, and note we'll continue our conversations with the DVBA and others on any technical adjustments that might come up between now and the executive committee.
So the motion should include as modified.
Okay, so moved as modified.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Everybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Flight.
Yes.
Yes. Anyone opposed?
Yes.
No. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We move forward to 7C, which is the town ordinance. And Eric, if you want to give us a very quick.
So that was the fees. This one has what enables you to charge the fees. And the changes, again, is you've got it on record. This is the changes, is that the only exemption now is going to housing, fewer land use categories, and annual inflation factor. And only the projects over 7.5 points in our TEPS are included. And we're trying to get this, our goal is to have this all tied up on the jurisdictional end so that we can put this into effect on November 1st. Whether we accomplish that goal is really up to all of you. But that's our goal.
Thank you. Question and comments on this ordinance? Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
A motion?
Second.
A motion and second.
And just so everybody's aware, that will include the modification regarding the refundable $500 if the applicant prevails.
Modified. Thank you. Everybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Flight?
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And we move forward to 7D, this Madison Street Improvement Project, and Eric, once again.
So we have a project, Madison Street, it's the city of Indio, and I'll just comment that we have Tom Lafferty here to answer any questions. If you have technical questions about the project itself, the project was originally put together in 2007, and this was the project. It went from 50 to Indio Boulevard, and kind of made a straight line out of what wasn't completely a straight line. But the first amendment to this project was in 2009, which added an extension down to 52. The second amendment to this project removed the piece from Miles to Fred Waring. And if you look, that's where this project went across the canal and the Whitewater River, and there was some extraordinary costs there. Right away was expensive, so it was removed from the project. Now, with the project nearing completion in certain areas, they have a bid and an estimate on the last two pieces. So the pieces in yellow from 48 to 111 and from 50 to 52, The city is coming to us asking for additional money now that they have some clarity on what those costs will be. And so they're asking for an amendment to add an additional $5.5 million and change to this project, bringing CBAG's total regional share to just over $24 million.
Thank you. Question and comments from board members. Well, then I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
A motion, can I have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second by Emilio, and anybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Light.
Yes.
Yes, yes, so we are a unanimous vote, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We have two our action items. We have information for you at item 8. Announcement, we'd like to remind you that we will not meet in July, but we will meet Monday, August 27, 2018 for Transportation Committee. And as our Executive Director already explained, we will have our General Assembly Monday, June 25, 2018. And with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you.